Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, the 11th of December, 100 people are killed in a massacre in Sudan's Darfur region. The UN warns that aid to Gaza has largely been blocked for the past 66 days. And first, Pope Francis says that he is following attentively everything that is happening in Syria. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. In the wake of the fall of the Assad regime, Pope Francis said today that he is following every day what is happening in the country. During his weekly general audience, he spoke of the delicate moment in the country's history and prayed for peace and security for its people, in particular its religious minorities. Joseph Tullock reports.
Speaking at the end of his weekly general audience, Pope Francis stressed his desire that, quote, a political solution might be reached in Syria, one that, without further conflicts or divisions, responsibly promotes the stability and unity of the country. Pope Francis entrusted the Syrian people to the Virgin Mary, praying that through her intercession, Syrians might live in peace and security in their beloved land. The Pope also expressed his hope that the various religious groups in Syria, which is majority Sunni Muslim but contains substantial Shia Muslim, Christian and Druze minorities, might walk together in mutual respect for the good of the nation. This was an appeal to which the EU bishops also lent their voice. They released a statement earlier today calling for a peaceful transition in Syria and for the protection of minority rights. In just 2 weeks, the main rebel group in Syria, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, has taken over from the Assad family, which had ruled for 53 years. And in the meantime, the Israeli army has launched more than 350 airstrikes targeting Syria's strategic weapons stockpiles. At today's general audience, Pope Francis also remembered war-torn Ukraine, Palestine, Israel and Myanmar, as he does almost every week, once again encouraging all those present to pray for peace in those countries. Let us pray that a way out might be found, the Pope said. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Meanwhile, the situation in Gaza continues to worsen. Israeli attacks across the Gaza Strip killed at least 33 Palestinians on Wednesday. The United Nations has said that humanitarian aid to the Strip has largely been blocked for the past 66 days. Nathan Morley tells us more.
It's thought that around 75,000 Palestinians are without access to food, water, electricity, or any kind of health care. In fact, an estimated 26,000 Palestinians are suffering from injuries inflicted over the past year. Since October 2023, 58% of the 273 WHO-led missions inside Gaza have either been rejected, cancelled or hampered. This has added to the urgent but extremely difficult task of evacuating patients who need specialist medical support outside the enclave. Speaking earlier, UN Humanitarian and Reconstruction Coordinator for Gaza, Sigrid Krag, said civilians are facing an utterly devastating situation. OCHA said only 4 UN-supported bakeries are currently working throughout the Gaza Strip, all of them located in Gaza City. Furthermore, the United Nations calculates that at least $6.6 billion is required to address the humanitarian needs of the people in Gaza and the West Bank. Meanwhile, in other developments, at least 22 people were killed after repeated Israeli airstrikes on the town of Beit Lea in northern Gaza, according to the AFP news agency, citing the Gaza Civil Defence. The Kamal Adwan Hospital said it had received the dead. The IDF has not yet commented on the attack. Israeli bombardments from the air, land and sea continues to be reported across the Gaza Strip, resulting in further civilian casualties, displacement and destruction of civilian infrastructure. At least 44,612 Palestinians have been killed and over 105,000 wounded since the beginning of the war last year. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Elsewhere, thousands of Georgians have been protesting in Tbilisi for weeks against the government's decision to suspend negotiations for European Union membership until at least 2028. The protests, which began on the 28th of November, were triggered by Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze's announcement halting EU accession talks and rejecting EU budgetary grants. This move has sparked public outrage, as around 80% of Georgians support EU membership. The protests have grown increasingly intense, with demonstrators clashing with police who have responded with tear gas and water cannons. Hundreds have been arrested and dozens injured. Meanwhile, Sudan's military has been accused of carrying out an airstrike on a marketplace in the country's western Darfur region, in which at least 100 people, most of whom civilians, have been killed. The massacre, which reportedly took place on Monday at a weekly market, is in flagrant violation of international law and comes amid the ferocious civil war in the nation that pits the army against the paramilitary rapid support forces and that has led to the world's worst humanitarian emergency. Linda Baldoni reports.
More than 8 barrel bombs hit the market in the North Darfur town of Kap Kabiya on Monday, killing over 100 civilians and wounding many more. At least 127 people were killed in Sudan on Monday and Tuesday, as the 20-month war between the army and the RSF has been turning increasingly bloody, as ceasefire efforts have stalled and crises elsewhere dominate world attention. The army has stepped up airstrikes in the half of the country that the RSF controls, while the RSF has staged raids on villages and intense artillery strikes. Both have targeted densely populated civilian areas. The army has frequently targeted towns in North Darfur with airstrikes as it fights the RSF for control of the state capital Al-Fashir, its last foothold in the region. International observers and charities have denounced ethnic cleansing and widespread war crimes in Darfur, warning that yet another genocide could be taking place amid the deafening silence of the international community. Sudanese military forces have denied responsibility for the attack on Kap Kabiya, insisting that it has the right to target any location used by the RSF for military purposes. The RSF has not responded to a request for comment. Recent reports claim that at least 60,000 people have been killed in the conflict, while more than 30 million are in need of aid, with famine declared in some areas, while 12 million people have fled their homes. I'm Linda Bordoni.
South Korean police tried to search President Yoon Suk-yeol's office on Wednesday but have not been able to enter the main building as an investigation into the US allies' decision to declare martial law was widened. The attempt to search the presidential office significantly escalates the investigation against Yoon and top police and military officers over the December 3rd martial law declaration that plunged the country with Asia's fourth largest economy into a constitutional crisis. Pope Francis addressed the Human Economic Forum in Rome on Wednesday, highlighting its focus on human sustainability and key economic and social issues. He emphasized the importance of prioritizing human dignity and integral development in combating poverty, restoring dignity to the excluded, and caring for the planet. The Pope commended the forum's global vision, incorporating diverse cultural and religious perspectives, and stressed the need for long-term, self-sustaining economic systems to support human development. Concluding his address, he encouraged participants to continue their efforts to honour the sacredness of life and work towards a better future. Meanwhile, almost 31,000 migrants have gone missing whilst attempting to cross the Mediterranean since 2014. Last year alone, over 3,000 people were confirmed to have died making the crossing. The organisation Rescue People Saving People was founded to protect the lives and rights of people in danger in the Mediterranean Sea. Members of Rescue met with Pope Francis in the Apostolic Palace and he praised their work, calling it worthy and most welcome. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
In 2021, Rescue launched its first rescue ship. Since then, they have saved many migrants from sinking in makeshift boats and offered support to those arriving in Europe.
L'azione perseguita della vostra organizzazione ha lo scopo di salvare vite umane, vite di persone in fuga da luoghi dove imperversano gravi conflitti.
In his audience with them, Pope Francis stressed the importance of their work, highlighting that the organization saves the lives of people fleeing from places ravaged by severe conflicts, which often trigger humanitarian crises and involve the violation of fundamental human rights. He recognized that in the midst of the global humanitarian crisis of forced migration, rescue has not remained indifferent. Rather, they have taken action. Pope Francis emphasized that the heart of this action is the conviction that every human being is unique and that their dignity is inviolable, regardless of nationality, skin color, political opinion, or religion. Yet the Pope lamented that not everyone has this conviction, and many lives are exploited, rejected, abused, or reduced to slavery. He explained that oftentimes, civil authorities are unable to respond due to the vastness and complexity of the migration crisis.
Migrante va accolto, accompagnato, promosso e integrato.
Encouraging people to take action, Pope Francis left the group with a message that reflects their mission, that migrants must be welcomed, accompanied, promoted, and integrated. The Pope ended by asking for the intercession of Mary, help of migrants to continue to assist rescue in their work. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
An 11-year-old girl has been rescued after clinging to inner tubes for 3 days in stormy weather in the Mediterranean. Rescuers from non-governmental organisation Compass Collective said they were on their way to another emergency when they heard her calls for help. The unnamed girl from Sierra Leone told them she had set off with another 44 people from Sfax in Tunisia. Their boat had sunk and all the other migrants are presumed dead. Rescuers handed the girl over to Italian authorities on the island of Lampedusa, where she was able to walk as well as talk. As we just heard, thousands of migrants trying to reach Europe die during the treacherous journey in the Mediterranean every year. And finally, Pope Francis dedicated his reflection at the general audience to the theme of the Holy Spirit and the Bride. The Holy Spirit guides the people of God towards Jesus, our hope. The title of the cycle of catechesis that concluded on Wednesday. Christopher Wells tells us more.
In his catechesis, Pope Francis looked to the book of Revelation with the eschatological invocation, "Come, Lord Jesus." The hope for the final coming of Jesus is always present in the Church, the Pope said, while at the same time, the Church also expects the continuous coming of Christ in the present and pilgrim situation. Subsequently, the Church's understanding of the invocation "Come" has developed, so that now she uses it to call upon the Holy Spirit as well. It is right that it should be so, the Pope explained, because after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is Christ's true alter ego, he who takes his place, who makes him present and operative in the Church. That, the Pope continued, is why Christ and the Spirit are inseparable.
Ecco perché Cristo e lo Spirito sono inseparabili.
Also in the economy of salvation. The Holy Spirit, moreover, is the ever-gushing source of Christian hope, Pope Francis explained, the sail that propels the Church along the sea of history. He said that hope is not an empty word or a vague desire, but a certainty based on God's fidelity and a theological virtue.
Il cristiano non può accontentarsi di avere speranza. Deve anche irradiare speranza.
Christians, he said, cannot be satisfied with having hope, but must also radiate hope, which is the most beautiful gift that the Church can give to all of humanity. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va and visit Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico, our sound engineer in studio today. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.